Okay, Pat, if we could have that first panel up there as we begin to dive into this. Now, we've been looking at this key phrase in 1 Timothy. How do we complete it? Watch. Do you remember? Your life and doctrine closely. Okay. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Why don't you pull that little black thing out and then put it back in. That usually re-triggers it. This is a phrase that we've been looking at because it is so important. It should... Okay. Go. There we go. Watch your life and doctrine closely. That means our doctrine, what we believe about the Lord, what we believe about the Word of God, needs to be guarded carefully because whatever our doctrine is going to determine how we live. We watch both our life and doctrine closely. We've been looking at this summary panel that, you know, this represents the body of Christ here. And because of the power of Christ crucified, risen, transforming our lives, it has transformed our worldview, what we believe. We believe in the Word of God now as true, and we want to follow it. So it affects us and how we behave. Our lifestyle changes in Christ. And it's all because we belong to Him. Our identity is in Him. But in belonging to Him, we belong to one another. We're part of His body. So it's both a horizontal and vertical belonging. Therefore, it leads to our philosophy of ministry, which is possible now. That praying is the very heart of who we are because of Christ in our lives. And we saw 2 weeks ago that that is a fundamental building block of a healthy church, is prayer. We saw last week worshiping with emphasis on corporate worship. And today we're going to look at another vital part of Christian ministry, being in a part of the body of Christ, that is an act of worship, but it especially also is involved in equipping Christians and enabling them to be deployed wherever God sends them. And we come to our text, which is going to be 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15. This is a conclusion of a two-chapter presentation by Paul about the grace of giving in the Christian life. What we would call giving of tithes and offerings. Tithes, 10% of what God gives us, and offerings beyond that. It is triggered by the fact that the home church of Jerusalem was really struggling for two reasons. There was drought in the area, but more than that, they were under persecution. And so as a result, they had great needs. And Paul was collecting from the different churches, the home churches. And in that collection, he would take that to Jerusalem. But it gave him an opportunity to talk about the grace of giving. And the key thing we want to see is everything that we do in giving is always a response to the one who first has given to us out of His grace. So let's hear God's word. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6 to the end of the chapter with a great concluding statement as Paul concludes this part. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Amen. Sammy was a teenager and he responded to the knock at the door of his house with gladness because he knew his Uncle Mac had arrived from Scotland. So he opened the door and welcomed up Uncle Mac and he said, "Uncle Mac, thank you so much for sending me bagpipes for my birthday, 16th birthday last fall. I've come to believe it is the best present I have ever received." Uncle Mac was pleased. He said, "Well, that's great. How long did it take you to learn to play the bagpipes?" Sammy said, "Well, I don't play them. Mom gives me $1 a day to not play them during the day, and Dad gives me $10 a week not to play them at night. I've earned over $400 now with the bagpipes in the closet." Well, Paul says, verse 15, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." This is a gift that doesn't come from a well-meaning uncle who doesn't know what we need. It comes from a heavenly Father who knows exactly what we need as human beings. And it's an indescribable gift. The gift is Jesus Christ. In fact, it was interesting when Colleen was up here talking about Samaritan, the box there that Samaritan's Purse does, that the little booklet inside, I think, was called The Greatest Gift. I mean, that comes right out of that verse. This is the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ and the gospel He brings, which brings reconciliation to God and all of the blessings that come from that, including our eternal life. It's beyond description. I know that we here are not here because we put Jesus in the closet. We have responded to Him, but we want to look this morning at this element of response and giving. Now, I want to tell a parable, and it's a short little parable, and then I'm going to have you take just about 2 minutes in small groups to answer a question about this parable. So listen carefully to this parable. A man is walking along a beach, and he sees this lamp. He thinks, "Oh, could this possibly be?" He picks up the lamp and he rubs it. And sure enough, a genie pops out. And he says, "Man, this is just like the fairy tales." So he says to the genie, "Do I get to have 3 wishes? And the genie says, "No, I am a real genie. I'll give you 1 wish. You have a choice. Here's your choice. You can choose for me to give you enough food and reasonable means for living modestly for the rest of your life. And with that comes a heart that's full of peace and joy and love. Or I can give you $10 billion cash for you to use however you want to do. Use that. And with it comes a heart full of anger, envy, and misery. Now, what's your choice?" The man says, "I like the fairy tale genie better. Get back in the bottle." Okay, here's your question. Maybe here's your question. Uh-huh. Well, I'll work on that. The question is this. Why was a man unwilling to make a choice? Go ahead and take a couple minutes. Why was he unable to choose that question? Take a few minutes in small groups, and then I will call you back. Okay, time is up. Time is up. If you can get your attention back here, please. Okay, now, by the way, extra credit question for you to work on later in the day, number 2. Which choice would you make? That's for us to think about. Okay, quickly, what do you think the answer might have been? Why didn't he make a choice? Adriana?
I'd say he had no experience with either choice.
Okay, no experience either way. Okay.
He lacked faith.
He lacked faith. Okay. Jenny? That's I think the bullseye. What it did. Yeah. You know what this reveals. See, this is not really just a parable. It's life. God's not a genie, and the choice that He gives us is not nearly as cut and dried as the one I gave you in the parable. But really, the offer of the greatest gift of Jesus Christ is an offer of having peace with God, our sins forgiven, a joy, a love that in our heart. Not that everything on earth is simple and goes well. We live in a broken world. But there's a heart change that we have in Christ that has nothing to do with material possessions. And we can still be still have food in our bellies, and roof over our head, live very modestly, and yet have that heart. And yet there are many people that will not surrender their lives to Christ because they are convinced they can get more out of life on their own and pursue the things of the world. And I think, you know, what Jenny has said is that what strikes me on this is that money, and the Bible shows us, has a peculiar ability to grab a hold of people's hearts. Wealth and possessions. That's why Jesus spoke about it so much. It becomes an idol. And I think this for this man, it was an idol. And he simply couldn't reconcile that. That, you know, if you're going to have a happy heart, you've got to have money. And so he did. He wanted the happy heart, but he didn't want to give up the money. So he had to give up the choice. But that's not our choice. Our choice is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we want to recognize in this is that in this passage here, God is directing us to understand a very important dynamic. We've been looking at the three B's that are part of a healthy Christian, part of a healthy congregation. Now, the reality of it is, when we talk about tithes and offerings, which is a response of behaving, because, you know, behaving has to do with our whole lifestyle, including how we deal with finances. It is directly connected to what we believe. You cannot separate the two. What we actually believe about God and about Jesus Christ and about what the Bible teaches is going to be reflected in how we deal with our finances. So we want to rightly understand what the Word of God says, and so that we rightly respond as He wants to in trusting Him. Now, here I'm going to tell you a paradox. This is not a parable. It's a paradox because the Bible has a lot of them. And this is a paradox that we're going to examine in our text today. And that is this. It's good news. Giving of tithes and offerings to the Lord is about what God wants for us, not what He wants from us. Most people think, well, I'm giving my tithes and offerings. This is what God wants from us. No, it's not. It's what He wants for us. We're going to see why. Because we're going to uncover three very important truths in our text here, what we've read. First truth is this. We give in response. It's a response to God's greatest gift to us, life in Jesus Christ. And it's all about relationship. See, the Bible says that we were enemies of our Creator, enemies of God apart from Christ. But that God loved us, gave His Son Jesus Christ to reconcile us to Him so that now we are in relationship with Him. Now, here's why that is such a difference. Just imagine this for a moment. It's kind of silly, but I hope it makes a point. Suppose you're walking along the street and someone you don't know at all comes up to you, points a gun at you and says, I want you to give me $100. And you're scared stiff. And you happen to have $100 with you. So you give $100, and as you're doing that, this guy says, I have a sick child. He needs medicine, and it costs $100, and I don't have that. So he grabs your $100, and he takes off, and you're still quaking in your boots at being held up. Now, suppose that same sick child instead is a neighbor next door who you know. And you've gotten to know that child really well. You love that child. You love the family. But you haven't seen the child for several days. And one day you look out and here comes the dad walking up to his house and his head's kind of down. You go out and say, "Hey, I haven't seen your child." And the dad says, "That's because my child's sick." "Oh, that's too bad." And then the dad says, "And I've been laid off. So I need $100 for the medication. I just don't have it." And you say, "Well, I've got $100. And you give it to him because now there's a relationship. You know who that person is. You love that person. And it's not any problem for you to give $100 now. It's a totally different story. In either, both cases, the child's going to get the medication he needs. But it comes out of a totally different heart. We give in response to the fact, and here's the, it's not God who's sick. It's we who have been sick. And God has given us the medication at the through the blood of Christ to heal us. And we give back in response to this indescribable gift. It's all by grace. All by grace, which leads us to the second point. Truth. Everything that we have is by God's grace. Everything. No exception. It's all by His grace. Our life. Everything we have. And in fact, last week in our breakout groups and generations, we were looking at the story of Noah and the ark. And in our group, we backed up a few verses before our assignment, which started at Genesis 6, verse 9, because I think one of the most insightful verses in all of the Bible is Genesis 6, verse 5. This is what it reads. Brace yourself. "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of his heart was only evil all the time." How about that? Wow. This is where we get the doctrine of original sin, by the way. But look at the superlatives. How great our wickedness is. How every inclination of our heart is only evil all the time. Wow. Not some of the time. Hey, this is why the Old Testament presents why we need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot change our heart. But when I got to this text, what we're looking at here, as Paul develops this beautiful theology of the grace of giving, all because of the indescribable gift, it just struck me. Last Sunday morning, looking at that verse again, and then this week studying this text, and I want you to look again at 2 Corinthians 9:8 that was in our text. Me, it is the exact counterpart of this. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Wow! There's the indescribable gift of Christ. It exactly, it covers Genesis 6:5. "Make all grace abound to us, so that all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Wow. Put those two verses together and you see how the blood of Christ covers all our sin. That's amazing. Now, this means, biblically speaking, we don't own anything. We may say to other people, and human-wise, we can understand this, say, "Well, I bought a computer. I own a computer. I own this car. I own this." Well, we can say that to others, but biblically, we don't own anything. Everything belongs to God. Everything is by His grace that we have. If we've been given the brains or the skills to have a job that earns a lot of money, way more than maybe someone that just gets minimum wage, it's not our brains. It's not our skill. That's still a gift from God. Everything we have is a gift from Him. And so biblically, what we are called is stewards. We are stewards. A steward biblically was one who managed his master's possessions for him. And we manage what God has given us, not just possessions, but the time He gives us, the people He puts in our lives. All of that is by His grace, and we are stewards for His glory, to use it for His glory. Now, there, I want us to see the distinguish between three common words that are sometimes just seen as all the same thing when they're not. And that's stewardship, generosity, and giving. Now, the word stewardship isn't in our text itself, but the concept is right there. The word giving is the main word in verse 7. And generosity is mentioned about 4 or 5 times in our text. But here's the difference between them. Stewardship is our role as a child of God. We are stewards of all that He gives us. Generosity is our heart's response to God's grace in Christ. That's the response to verse 15, the indescribable gift. It's a heart that's been transformed. And then giving is the action itself that expresses generosity. And so what we can see here is that the most important thing for God is, again, the change in heart, generosity. Someone could be a faithful steward of all that God gives them, but if they haven't understood that this is all by God's grace, and it's a response of trust and response to His grace that we give our tithes and offerings, someone may be a faithful steward, and they will give, but their giving is grumpy, and it's coercion and biting their teeth because they lack the generosity, which is a response to grace. That's why, it says a well-known verse and a well-known phrase in verse 7, it says God loves a cheerful giver. Because a cheerful giver is one who's responding to grace, who's become generous in their heart. So, number 3, truth, is that God uses our tithes and offerings to bless others with the gospel. And that's what verses 12 and following are about. That others not only will be blessed because now they are being given of what they need, but there's something else it says very special in there in verse 12, that they also give thanks to God. God is glorified and praised. We saw that in the little videos with the Samaritan's purse thing. They were recipients of offerings that had been given by God's people, and now they're giving thanks to God. Oh, what a change this has made in my life. And even verse 14, people pray for us when we give. Oh, thank you. Lord, thank you for that you provided for me and bless those people that gave. You know, it's amazing. So God uses our tithes and offerings. So this gets us back to the genie. And that is, how do we respond? Because once again, there is, and I believe our people here, we are very faithful and generous in giving. But we have to guard our hearts, because the fear of losing possessions or the fear of giving what we have been given in tithes and offerings is always a threat, because we live in a very materialistic culture. We are inundated with tons of advertising saying we need this, we need that in order to be happy. And so we have to be careful. 1 Timothy 6, another famous phrase, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And it even Paul goes on to say there that followers of Christ can get trapped in that if they don't watch out. That's why I say God wants us to be generous givers of our tithes and offerings, because of what He wants for us, not from us. Because it's when we are generous in our giving, trusting Him, and whether we're relatively poor by American standards, rich, or somewhere in between, when we're trusting Him and generously giving, we are protected from that idol of materialism, the idol of money, and I've got to have more. We are protected from that trap. And instead, we are free because we're yoked with Jesus, that indescribable gift, filled with His grace. And in response to that grace, tithes and offerings is just one response. We give like the worship of praise that we sung earlier. We give of ourselves. We give our lives to serve the one who has first given Himself for us. It's all by grace. So that brings us back once again. What we believe will directly affect how we behave And we want to behave according to God's word because we belong to Him, and through Him we belong to one another and the whole body of Christ. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's take a moment, just quiet prayer before the Lord, and let the Spirit search our hearts. The real question here is not really how faithful am I in giving tithes and offerings. The real question is, how totally am I responding in verse 15 to that indescribable gift of God's grace and life in Christ? Take a moment and let the Lord examine our heart in this area. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that by your grace, we've been given life in Christ. And by your grace, Foster Church has been a very generous church, a strong mission-supporting church. By your grace, you've supplied for us year after year. But we don't want to ever take that for granted, Lord. We want you to continue to set us free because you want for us a cheerful heart, a trusting heart, that amidst the insecurities of our world and the insecurities of our economic system, and even the insecurities sometimes of our own jobs, you are faithful to supply. You are faithful to give us what we need. And so we pray, like Paul actually said in the chapter before, in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, that we would excel in the grace of giving. Because we're always giving in response to where we have been given so far more in Christ. Thank you for that. So we pray right now, Lord Jesus, that by your power, that we would have all that we need and far above so that we can share with others. Share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. And for those that right now may be struggling with underemployment or unemployment, whatever it is, we pray that you would provide. Lord, provide however you want, with jobs or a better job, but we thank you that you're the provider. And also deepen our faith, because it's as we trust you that our eyes and our hearts are open to the incredible grace that we have, that you are able to make all grace abound to us in every way, at all times. We have been saved by grace, we live by grace. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And so we offer ourselves to you again. May we be faithful in the grace of giving, not just tithes and offerings, but giving our love to you, giving our love to others, and bearing the witness to the good news of this indescribable gift that we've been given. And we pray this all with thanksgiving in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As we go forth, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, now and always. Amen.